Let's all turn our Bibles to Psalm chapter 97 before we commit the sermon to the Lord. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hands of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Praise the Lord. Let's all lift up our hearts and prepare our very own self as a creation of God, as we surrender ourselves in his presence for him to take over. Our Lord, our God, our Creator, the Almighty, the God who sees, the God who provides, the God who delivers, the God who loves beyond our little mind, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for the life that is living in us. Lord, we thank you that we are all blessed to walk by our faith given by you, not by the sight of this world, but by the faith led by your Holy Spirit, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are all not blind in this world. Thank you, Lord, that we can see that it's all about you. It's all about you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can understand thy word because of thy Spirit. You had purposed in your heart to show your grace and mercy to all of us. And that's the only reason we are all standing, singing, dancing, praising, worshipping you. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful journey with you, Lord. When we look back, we always remember how weak we were, what kind of darkness we were all roaming into, how sinful we were. But Lord, where we are today and how we were before is nothing but your mercy, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you blessed all of us to eat your food, to stay in your house, to be soaked by your presence, to receive your grace, and to serve you in your house. So everything is all about you, and you are all in all, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you thought of us and you heard our cry. And thank you, Lord, that you are with us right now in the midst of us, because the only reason we are here is to glorify your mighty name. Not to answer our worldly prayers, not to get something that we truly desire to have a smooth and happy life on this little earth. But Lord, we are here just for you, because of you. We just want to be in you, just want to be led by you, just want our life to be completely controlled by your presence. Because, oh Lord, that is the best thing can happen to our lives, oh Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the goodness that we received last year, all the pain, all the valleys. Because, oh Lord, as long as you are with us, we are always in light, no matter whatever the situation of our life can be. But Lord, we just want to be in the light. just want to bear your reproach, just want to shine your light, just want to be with you. No matter how painful it could be, no matter how much struggles that we may face, Lord, just be with us, O Lord. This is our prayer as a congregation, as a family of God, as a church of God. And we all agree together in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask this as a promise for this year. Just be with us and lead us in your presence. Because, O Lord, you are our everything. The ministry is for you, the church is for you, the fellowship is for you, and we are for you. May you take us and use us according to your will and your pleasure. Thank you, Lord, for everything, and thank you, Lord, for all the miracles, testimonies, blessings that you have already prepared for this beautiful new season. What God had purposed in his heart, it shall come to pass. And may you bless us to be that part of the word and to be fulfilled to glorify your name. Thank you for the last year, and thank you for all the blessed assurance, wonderful blessings, seeds that were sown deep in our heart, and as our lives can witness the growth and the fruitful, the harvest that you are reaping in the midst of us. Lord, may you continue to bless us, teach us, purge us, chasten us, prune us, but Lord, never forsake us, O Lord. Because we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. As long as we stand firm in your word, remaining humble, sincere, with the desire to love you, to follow you, Lord, you will always cherish to dwell in the midst of us because this is your house, O Lord. Amen. We surrender our everything into thy mighty hands. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. Shalom, dear brethren. God bless you all. Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for this first Sunday of this new year. We thank the Lord for Sister Chantana, came here as a sister who always join us on Friday. And this is the first time I see you. So I thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for all the brethren who gather here, overseas brethren. God bless you all. So may the Lord guide us as we are about to eat the words of life. Amen. You may be all seated. We thank the Lord for last Sunday. Last Sunday, the main essence of our learning that we were rejoicing in the word of the Lord concerning the title, Mercy Rejoiceth Against Judgment. Amen. The Lord has called all of us to be the vessels of mercy because He knows what to do to complete the work that He had planned. But in truth, in spirit, we all know that it is done. What's happening now is just a mere fulfillment of what God had purposed in His heart. Whatever God had purposed after His counseling, it's done. Because His word will come to pass. So now the question is, are we part of His mighty divine plan? That's why the Lord called all of us, you are nothing but a lively stone built upon a spiritual priesthood upon the foundation, the chief cornerstone. And that stone must have life in it. And that is the only way we can remain in the vine. And the Lord compares us as a spiritual priesthood, a royal holy nation. The Lord also compares us as a branches in a vine. Without the vine, the branch is nothing. Because the root is all about life. And if that stone has no life, it cannot be built on the foundation which is life, because we are called to be lively stones. And this is the perfection the Lord wants us to reach unto. On one side the Lord says, if the branch does not bear fruit, the fruit is always the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Everything else God will take care of. On the other side the Lord says, if the stone has no life, it's not a lively stone. It's nothing but a stone. So on two sides, one side we have life to remain as the royal priesthood built upon the chief cornerstone. On the other side, to remain as a branch in the grapevine, the Lord says, I will continue to chasten you. When I prune you, if you can endure, then I know you are a son. You are a daughter of mine. That was the main focus of our last Sunday sermon. Today, by God's grace, we will ask the Lord to continue to lead us in this journey. Follow our Lord Jesus Christ has so many components embedded into it. The Lord says, if you do not have the desire, you can't follow me. Because that is how He starts the commandment. if you desire to follow me. And that desire, it overcomes all the challenges that we face in our flesh. Frustration, compulsion. Oh, I have to do this because I was asked to do this. Those things are not part of the word desire. Desire means what Apostle Paul said. I am willing and I am ready to die for the name's sake. Because for Apostle Paul, that death is nothing. Because he knows the Lord whom he served, he swallowed up death. If you remember in the Old Testament, eye for eyes, the way the punishments were introduced in the law of Moses looks very harsh, very, very serious. But if you look spiritually in the New Testament, death came because of sin. Amen? To take it out, the Lord had to bring death which had no sin. So when the Bible says he knew no sin, but he was made to be sin. When he was killed, he simply used the death to descend and to do what he needs to do and to resurrect to overcome death, and he swallowed up death, as the Bible says. So when Apostle Paul said, I will die for his name's sake, it's not just the death of our body, the flesh, the breathing of our lungs and beating of our hearts on this earth. He says, if we do not die to sin, we cannot remain alive in Christ. Every day, the Lord says, are you willing to die today? Die to the world, so that you can be alive in the world. So may the Lord bless us as we continue to learn from him, because there is no end to it. Apostle Paul reminds us, the Lord can show things in excellence way, and that excellence we can't imagine, because his greatness cannot be measured. So there is no end to this learning journey. There is no end. The fountain of life can surprise us in our life by teaching us new things. Because our growth is very unique. Only the Lord and you know. Nobody can say, I know the measure of this brother or this sister's faith. No one can say. Because when the situation comes in, until then, people do not know who is Stephen. Until Stephen lifted his hands and prayed and uttered the words, only then everybody could witness that Stephen was indeed full of faith. Not by hearing the words about him, but by seeing the life of Stephen. So when Jesus says, if you really want to know how faithful you are to me, live and show it to me. So faith is always part of the true life that we received. So I was praying to the Lord, why faith is the only thing that is being measured? Because God's love cannot be measured. Holiness, there is no measurement. Either we are holy or we are not. Either we have love or we don't have. But for growth, the Lord said, grow in faith. There is a growth concerning faith. And the other side, the Lord also says, there is a filling of wrath. So on two sides, these two words, wrath and faith, are quantified in the Bible. The sin of Amorites, the iniquity, was full. So which means it was growing. When it reached a point, God decided, my time has come. There is a growth of all the evil things that you see in this world. There is a growth. You can see. 10 years before and now, we could see what's happening to the culture, the society. What's happening to everything in this world. It's totally different. Just 10 years before, it was different. So, on one side, the Lord is gathering his wheat. On the other side, the Lord allows all the Tower of Babel, all the city of Jericho to be built. Because both sides, it needs to reach a place when the Lord can say, this is the time for me to come. And that time, the Bible says, known only to him. But he tells us, his children would know the season of his coming. Why? Because his spirit is leading us. And the spirit is leading us where to go, what to do. So all we need in this journey is the leading of the Holy Ghost. Not the lessons, knowledge, understanding that we could gain from people or books, but the true knowledge, the true wisdom, the true understanding from the Holy Ghost to know Jesus in his word, in his love. So may the Lord guide us as we will focus on how the Lord can teach us his love by showing how he chastens his children. Because the wrath of God is also the testimony of God's love. If he do not delay, if he decide to show his wrath, we are done. So his wrath is also bound to the grace period that he allowed because of his agape love. So he is almighty. Amen. We cannot say God is light and God is love. God is full of mercy, his fullness, his beautiful blessing that we receive, and his anger, his wrath, his punishment, his judgment. You can't separate. He is everything, and he decides to show us what we need, depends on how he wants to lead us in our life to make sure you and me will not forsake the truth. You and me will not break the covenant, and you and me will not lose the true life that is in us. That is his only concern. So whatever it takes for us to complete this journey on this earth, your health, your life, whatever you need to make to live, make a living in this world, God will provide. Because the Bible says he is a provider. He provides. The people of God, the children of God, would lack nothing spiritually, physically, mentally, as a whole, to complete their journey on this earth. He is a provider. But what happens is, when people of this world, they want something else against the perfect will of God, beyond what God has planned for them, and they go against God's will. So what happens when they walk away from his presence? There is only one thing left. What has God reserved for everything else that doesn't belong to him? The Lord says, draw closer to me, make sure your feet is rooted in the way of holiness, and I will draw closer to me. If we are on the left or the right, we will start drifting on some sides. By the time we realized, when we turn back, we will see all the goodness of God, all the miracles. Because all the miracles of God, everybody saw, even the enemy saw. We can say, yes, the wall that was built by Nehemiah and the people was a testimony of the Lord. It was built in 52 days. The enemies said, the enemies testified God's glory by saying that, indeed, this work was wrought of God. But that doesn't mean that those enemies were saved. The Lord says, until he draws his people to stand on his foundation, they are not saved. That's why he said, love your enemies through your love, through your light, through your mercy. When you become the vessel of my salvation, I would be able to make them as your friends in Christ, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is the main focus of this sermon. Wrath of God was never about flesh and blood. It was always about things. Things that he hates. Things, the wickedness, the spiritual wickedness, darkness, that are not part of his plan for the eternal life. Amen. Let's all turn our Bibles. Matthew chapter 3, we start from how John the Baptist declared the coming of the Lord, and how he warned the people of this world. Because the Lord says, we should desire for everyone should be saved. The Lord will decide the separation. Matthew chapter 3 verse 1 to 13. Brother Clement, can you read this for me? Chapter 3 verse 1 to 13.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is he who has spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptisms, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you, that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the shed with unquenchable fire.
Amen.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Let's look at the words John the Baptist spoke. There are two verses that speaks to us concerning how John the Baptist was focusing on the message that was given to him by the leading of the Spirit. In verse 8, he says, "Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." Amen. Bad fruits that need repentance, that bless you to receive that wisdom to repent, in a sense that the Lord can see that we truly repent. There are two different types of repentance that you can see in this world also. When we say sorry because we decided to say sorry just to feel peace, that's not the repentance the Lord is looking for. Only the Lord knows whether that word is coming from the deep, the bottom of our heart, with sincerity, with the truth, the Lord can listen to it. Because God cannot hear things that are not pleasing to His in His presence. Bring forth fruits. It is in plural. You see, it's in plural. Bad fruits that is worthy of a proper repentance that can be considered, acknowledged, accepted in God's presence. But when it continues, He speaks differently. When you become the tree of righteousness, that fruit, that word becomes singular. He says in verse 10, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees." Not anywhere. Root of the trees. "Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire." So here it says, bear good fruit when you are compared to a tree, so that you will escape. Because John the Baptist started by speaking to them, who warned you? Who warned you from the wrath to come? He's not just simply teasing them or insulting them. Because servants of God would not make a mockery of the people. Because Jesus came for the sick. Jesus came for the poor. There is no ministry, there is no saved souls to be saved. Amen? The sincerity, the diligence should be there. At the same time, he is being led by the Spirit. He cannot speak anything else other than the truth. The intention of those people came was nothing to persecute John the Baptist, find a reason to kill him, take a note on what he is speaking, what are the faults there, so that they can go and report to their supervisor to prove that lawfully he can be killed. Legally we can kill him. And that's exactly what they were doing, collecting proofs. What are the mistakes that he is making? They were nothing but adversaries of the enemy, filled with flesh, so that they can be the vessels of wrath to kill John the Baptist in the time when God had appointed. So now, John the Baptist is telling them, "Hey brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So, let's bring the same verse in a good sense to God's children. Who warned us to save us to escape from the wrath to come? The Bible says we are all saved, escaped from the wrath to come by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who decided to show His love and grace and mercy to us. And until and unless we finish our journey led by the Spirit to reach the mark, the fullness of Christ, we are not escaped yet. So our journey is still going. It's not a guarantee that, oh, I was baptized 10 years ago, I have learned all the truth, I escaped the wrath. No. The Lord says every time, the Lord reminds us, today is the day. It's all about what happens today. It's not about what happened yesterday. All those nutritions, all those lessons will be in vain when the Lord uncovers our nakedness, showing us that your faith level is here, not here. So the Lord allows trials, allows valleys for us to reflect where we stand. For us to get an opportunity to examine ourselves, who we are truly, what is the true intention of me coming to the church? What is the true intention of me to praise the Lord? 7 days I work in the world to make a living and do whatever I can with my family, in my office. There is only one day on Sunday we gather together as God's family. We have some time to praise and worship. Are we giving the best, like how Abel sacrificed? Are we giving whatever we can with all we have got? Because tomorrow may not come in our lives. We may not see tomorrow. There should not be any regret in the children of God concerning the blessing, the privilege, the opportunity He provides every day, because there might not be a tomorrow for us. So the Lord says, who wants all of us to flee from the wrath of God? The Lord has been sending His servants over time and revealing His truth in an excellent way. Depends on what exactly is needed for that particular time. If you see the manifestation of truth from Genesis to Revelation, the Lord decided what He will expose, reveal to His children on the plan that He has given us in our grace period. 7 church ages, 7 messengers, 7 different types of trials, challenges, darkness, and He released them to go and show light according to what they need at that time. Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, then judges, kings, all the way until everything went up to like a mighty kingdom, kings. Then Jesus came as a normal man and just came and delivered all of us from the paths of hell. And what the Lord is teaching us? The Lord is teaching us there is something happening around us. If we are ignorant, if we are not aware of how God works in His word, then the Lord says, that is the lack of knowledge and wisdom, the people will perish in the end of days. The Lord says, my people would perish for the lack of knowledge and wisdom. And that knowledge and wisdom is very deep, is so spiritual, for the Lord to tell His children that there is no knowledge, no wisdom without me. There is no knowledge, no wisdom if the Spirit is not bearing witness with your spirit. There is no testimony if my name is not in your life. There is no journey if I am not with you. There is no promised land if we are not at rest in our trials and valleys, because He is our promised land. The Lord is checking us. The Lord is testing us. But the Lord says, are you aware of my anger, which is also beautifully driven by His love? Sometimes when my kids do something bad against Sister Anita or me or anyone, I always take them to a room to punish them so that nobody would see that they are being punished within 4 walls. So that I don't break their confidence, I don't break their heart, you know, while I chasten them as much as I can. But if it is required, then they have to be punished, you know, in the presence of others. But when I do that, as a father, at first, your worldly love will come in. Oh, they would feel the pain. But if you don't have agape love, you cannot chasten your children as the Lord wants you to chasten them. So, most of the times, the worldly love will deceive us, telling us, yes, yes, you are holding agape love. There is only way to know whether you are in agape love or it is something else. And that way is, if there is a single compromise, a very small compromise in the truth that you learn from the Bible, in the word of the Lord that no, you know, but if you make a single compromise, make sure to run away from the place, because you are not standing on agape love. It is something else. There are different mercy, different love, different peace, different repentance. Even I have seen my friends, my relatives, who have done evil things, and they just said sorry to those who were affected. And when those victims or those who were wounded, when they said, I forgive you, and that person feels that he is released from all the bondages, all the guilt, because the person who was hurt, he himself forgave him. That is not repentance. What does it matter if I forgive you, if you forgive me? There is only one who can forgive us from our sins. That vessel has decided to be the vessel of mercy. It is a blessing and the fruit and the gift and the privilege God has blessed that vessel. But the one who committed something harm to that vessel,
needs to have that repentance by bearing the fruits that is worthy of Lord's consideration. That repentance, yes, we receive from that vessel. Remember when Moses told the Lord, Lord, see, I'm standing in between you and the people. You don't lay hands on the people. But God, did God just let them just escape? No. God said, I will inquire everyone according to their work. I can't punish someone for the sake of you. And I also won't save someone for the sake of you. Salvation is not something that can be shared. That is not inheritance. Salvation is unique. It is life. The Lord said, He is our inheritance. We share His faith. We share the part of the word. But salvation, the Lord is righteous judge. Amen. I cannot carry the cross of someone. You can't carry the cross of me. But the Lord says, share your burden and fulfill the law of Christ. Because our Almighty Himself decided, yes, I need someone to carry my burden for a moment. He did not let them to complete the journey. He just allowed Simon to share the burden. He just asked the disciples to pray for him, knowing that they won't pray. Watch and pray was not just a request. It was a warning that Jesus sowed on that garden that is still speaking louder to us now, 2,000 years later. He said that 3 times, watch and pray. And He said, because you won't watch and pray. Then they slept. He came. Then He said again, watch and pray. Don't He know that they will sleep again? He knows. He is the Alpha and Omega, right? He knows. He knows that they would fall into sleep. But He said, watch and pray. 2nd time. 3rd time, you come and say, watch and pray. You can't continue even watch and pray. Continue even avoid from sleeping. The Lord says, I will keep this warning for the rest of the generations for people to be warned. Then who warned us to flee from the wrath of God? Him. If Jesus did not warn us, how can you say that this warning is from the Spirit of the Lord? Amen? We are not here to take the warning from men. We can't please men. Whatever the warning the Lord Himself spoke through His servants, by His Spirit, we take all the warnings. But what happens? All the denominations, people who worship idols, not just that were made of stones, but those idols that were deep inside the heart, carefully constructed, well-established thought or idols. And the Lord says, if they don't receive my warning, if we don't receive the warning from the one who will bring forth the fire later, then we might be fooled by the love, grace, mercy, peace, joy of this world, confusing to the extent that it's all spiritual from the Lord. And that confusion must be circumcised. Because God's love comes with heat, comes with fire, comes with chastening, comes with the truth that is hard, bitter, but it is sweet for the soul. So, John the Baptist says, hey, who warned you? The Messiah is not yet arrived. Who warned you? You are not led by the Holy Ghost. Then who warned you? He's telling them, you are here, nothing but a vessel of adversary, just to make a mockery of me, and to take notes to go and complain about me to the one whom you serve, the Mammon, the prince of this world. Did they respond to John the Baptist? No. They were just simply listening and just doing what they are supposed to do. That's how John the Baptist spoke. And our Lord and Savior, He spoke something similar. And His warnings are always bound with actions. Why? God is not just speaking. He speaks louder by sending things, by sending experiences, by making us to learn it, by living it. If God told the people of Israel, if 2 or 3 commits abomination, I will trigger my servant Phinehas, with his zeal, he will throw a spear and you will be killed. And before that, I will kill 24,000. God did not say that. He just made the people to see it, and that lesson would be something etched in their mind, in their heart for generations to come, and until now we know how He works. And even after Moses pleaded for forgiveness, God told Moses, go thy way, move aside, and He plagued the people. Because if He did not plague the people, then whom we serve? We serve the Almighty. He is righteous. He is full of love and mercy. But also, He is a righteous judge. No man can relate himself with Him. His righteousness is not something that you and me can measure. We have been given that glimpse of life, that glimpse of light that is sufficient for us to hold on to life. If you give us more, you will die with pride. If you give us less, you will die with weariness. He knows what exactly this fish needs to eat and grow, so that he can cast down the nets and catch us. So now, what John the Baptist spoke, he started by addressing to those, and the very first word he said was, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He said, at hand, when he spoke this, 2000 years ago, Jesus was not baptized by John the Baptist at that point of time. And he is telling, kingdom of heaven is at hand. And where are we standing right now? Seventh church age. Almost all the signs and all the seasons are right in front of us. Everything is going down the drain. The evil is getting more and more powerful. And the Lord is watching all of us. Because his ministry of reconciliation is still working right now. As we speak, we do not know, countless souls are repenting, baptized around the world by different ministries, different servants of God, but by one single church, one single family, led by one spirit. It's happening now, and that's exactly why you and me are breathing. And the Lord says, if I allow you to breathe, think why I must keep you alive on this world. The Lord says, I have a purpose for all of us, for every one of us. And that purpose, the Lord wants us to seek Him. Lord, if I am breathing on this world, what do you want me to do? Is it just to go to work, save money, make sure my family, my children will survive? One single earthquake can simply swallow up Singapore. One single tsunami can wipe out an entire nation. And what is that bank can do to us? Is it like I will eat well, I will do exercise, I will focus on my physical health because, you know, I am the temple of Holy Ghost, so my body has to be very healthy, so beautiful. You know, this is also a deception. There is a balance. The thin line is very thin to the extent that people love themselves, love their body, claiming that the Lord told me to take care of it because it is the temple of Holy Ghost. Remember what happened to Apostle Paul. Remember what happened to Jesus Christ. Remember what happened to Stephen. Same body. Suffered. But that doesn't mean that we will despise the gift that Lord has given us. There is a very subtle, a very thin line that can only be seen by those who can walk in faith, not by mind. And that thin line is a spiritual discernment only the Holy Ghost can give us. If not, when we just cross that line, and the Lord would say, you are standing below the cloud of my wrath. Run back to the shelter. Run back to the house. I was thinking, why the Lord forsake his children? The Bible says he dropped his children to captivity, to slavery, but they bounced back. But those who bounced back are not the same generation those who sent into slavery. It's second generation or even the third generation. How the Lord sees his seeds, how the Lord looks at his children is beyond our understanding. God prepared Abraham, and from that promise, the seventh church age is standing right now. But in between, you see the 12 tribes scattering in the wilderness. You see how many things happened, but the seeds that bring forth life by the life is keep on being born and being baptized. The work is keep on going on. So now, bring forth the fruits of repentance that is acceptable to the righteous judge, not to the men, and bear good fruit to escape. There is only one fruit of the Spirit, or because it is the attributes of a single fruit. Having the Holy Ghost is the fruit. Led by the Spirit is the fruit. Now let's turn your Bibles to learn from how Jesus spoke when he warned the same group of people. Because when John the Baptist said, he said, whose fan is at his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Amen? Not in any way, but thoroughly purge his floor. And gather his wheat into garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. But before that, John the Baptist introduced Jesus that he will baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. The word fire is keep on repeating in the same passage, but with different purpose. Fire that can baptize, fire that can destroy. So now, let's go to chapter 23.
And let's look at what Jesus spoke. Chapter 23, verse 27. Verse 27, I will read this. Now Jesus starts by addressing to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of righteous." So these three verses, he just tells them what he thinks of the path of their life. Amen. He's speaking to the people and is telling them the truth. But he knows exactly that he will be persecuted for what he is speaking. But that doesn't stop him from speaking, because he is speaking the truth. He is the truth. Now let's just go two chapters before. Chapter 21. Chapter 21 verse 12 and 13. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple." Sold and bought in the temple. "And overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." They did not steal anything, but he said, "Ye have made it as a den of thieves." They were selling and buying, and they were selling doves. But the Lord says, he drove them away, and he's telling them, and also telling all of us spiritually, the house of the Lord, the holy priesthood, the new holy city Jerusalem, how the Lord measures us by length and width and breadth. He is looking at all of us as the house of him, individually and as a gathering. And the Lord says, people are selling and buying. House of the Lord is for the truth. He is for the Lord's name to be glorified. When the Lord's name is profaned by selling and buying own understanding, and selling and receiving things that are not the Lord, and the Lord says, he will draw them away. And the word of the Lord, the image of God, speaks the truth that he himself will draw them away. He did not tell the disciples to go and do the work. He told the disciples, your feet should be shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. But he went and did the work by himself. It's not something physical lesson that we need to learn from. The Lord is speaking to us. The word of the Lord is a double-edged sword. When we say the last Adam is a quickening spirit, and in the Revelation chapter we say, Lord, come so Lord quickly, we should know what is the definition of quick. It's not something fast or doing something at a speeder rate. The Lord says, quick means he will get things done in his time. That is not something that we can predict, we can premeditate. It's a quickening spirit, brings forth life. So, the same sword will also cut everything into life and death. So now, these are the words that Jesus spoke. Now let's go to Nahum chapter 1 verse 2 and 6. Nahum chapter 1 verse, maybe this from verse 1 to verse 1 to 6. Brother Clement, can you read this for me? Chapter 1 verse 1 to 6.
The burden against the men, Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Ecclesiastic. God is jealous, and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry, Amen. And dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel withers, and the flower of Lebanon wilts. The mountains quake before him, the hills melt, Amen. And the earth heaves at his presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. The first chapter of the book of Nahum presents the Lord's anger in a way that people of God can see love through God's anger. He says, start by saying that the burden of Nineveh, if the Lord had purpose in his heart to save his people, to preserve his people, to watch over his people, then that burden is given to the servant of God. Amen. Start by the word the burden. If the Lord had decided to destroy them, then it is not a burden anymore, because what God had purpose in his heart will come to pass. But here we read, God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. So remember when Jesus calmed down the storm, and when Moses stretched out his hand, and when God rebuked the Red Sea to divide into two, the Bible says the Lord rebuked. Amen. Because whatever brings discomfort or disquietness to his children, and the Lord says he will rebuke to bring calm and peace to him. He will rebuke. Because he is not pleasing in our pain, Amen. He is not rejoicing in our sufferings. But he knows it's a must to embrace the fellowship of his suffering, to endure his chastening, for us to come through the fire, forced through the fire, to be the one that he wants us to be like him. So when he wants us, you could still see the love of him in verse 6. Who can stand before his indignation? Remember when we read the Lord was looking for someone to stand in the gap, he can't find anyone. And he's also telling a question, who can stand? Who can stand before my indignation? He's also, giving a question. No one can stand against my anger, my wrath, my furious things that I do. But he also says, I'm looking for someone to stand in the gap. And who is that someone? If not that someone, is nothing but his creation, where his spirit dwells in him. And that creation becomes to make the Lord to say, let us do this. Let us counsel. Let us make this happen. Because he is speaking to his spirit in his vessels. And that's why the Lord says, you are mine, I am in you, you are in me. So, the Lord reminds us, no one can stand against Joshua. No one can stand against God's indignation. No one can stand against the wrath to come, but the children of God can, because God is in them. The love of God is reminded to God by his children. Remember, the servants of God always remind the Lord, Lord, remember, you are faithful, you are merciful, they are your people. They remind him. Then the Lord says, the Lord remembered his covenant. It's not the Lord forgets. The vessels of God, when they become the vessels of mercy, they tell the Lord, Lord, you see, your mercy is with me. The portion of your faith, the portion of your mercy is with me. I'm here. You are a great God who is gracious, merciful, faithful. And the Lord remembers the covenant so that his wrath can be turned away from his people. But still, he is a righteous judge. So everything is stored. Everything is reserved. There is no way God, the wrath of God will disappear. It says, turn away. And the Bible says, he reserve it. He stored up for the time to come, the day of the Lord. So now let's remember what we learned in Nahum. And let's turn our Bibles to what we read just now. Same chapter 23, Matthew. Jesus is still speaking to them. And we learn from how our Savior speaks and how He wants, why He is warning them if they are all destined for destruction or death. The Lord says His anger is reserved for His enemies, and the Lord tells all of us, love your enemies. He's not speaking two things. He says we were all bound to some slavery, some stronghold, and that light was covered by some darkness, and the Lord pulled that light, which is light bearers, and they are released from that spiritual wickedness, and that wickedness still remains, still looking for some other vessel. And the Lord says He will destroy that thing, that evil thing, things that He hates, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now we learn from how Jesus speaks to these people. Matthew chapter 23, Brother Clement, read this for me from verse 30 to 33, where I stop.
And say, if we have lived in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?
Amen. Now, John the Baptist told them, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Amen. Now, Jesus speaks to them in the same way of addressing them. Ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? If God is doing His work, the ministry of reconciliation, He cannot look at His children and tell them, ye generation of vipers. He would tell them, my children. Amen. He would tell them, my people. But then the Lord speaks to those who are completely surrendered to the world, controlled by the darkness of the world. He is telling them, how can you escape? Because they are telling them, there is no escape. There is no escape. So now, He is telling them, until you change, until you surrender, until you submit, until you repent, the Lord says He cannot call them, you are a generation of viper. He says, change the way you identify yourself. He says, let me identify you as my children when you repent and receive my truth and my spirit. So He says, therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Indeed, it happened that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. You see how He brings things at a scale that they could not have imagined. He tells them, therefore, I send prophets, wise men, but still you will kill some of them. And you will torture them, persecute them in synagogues, and you will do this in city to city. Children of God dragged outside the city and stoned to death. He says city to city, house to house, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the beginning. Upon the earth from the beginning. All. From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. How a strong warning our Savior presents to things that are possessed by the world. Vessels became the vessels of the world. And the Lord says, repent. If he did not want them to be saved, He would not be warning them. He has no grace and mercy towards them. He would not be speaking of all of this. But He speaks because Jesus says, I came for the sick. And now He says, verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And He told this 2000 years ago. And what is this generation? Not in the generations to come. He says every generation, the Lord is dealing with His people until they drew their last breath. Everybody is allowed to experience pain, suffering, to receive trials, challenges, and the Lord is giving them everything that they need to prove their calling, to be worthy of His calling, until they drew their last breath. And all of us are waiting for his final judgment, for his coming. And he says, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till he shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Verse 39, the Lord says, until you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It's very easy to say. Any worldly man can simply say, yes, I will say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But the Lord says, bear the fruit that is worthy of repentance for him to listen to your word, for him to accept your cry. Then you will start bearing good fruit for you to escape from the wrath. It's not easy. And the Lord says there are millions of people right now using the word of Jesus for everything, correct? But that's not the name of Jesus. It sounds like the bread, but that's not the bread of life. It sounds like the wine, but it's not the new blood, new covenant. The enemy says he will come in the name of Antichrist, but it's not even, though there are so many Christs. But you are anointed by the Holy Ghost, then you are a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. But there are so many anointing, evil one, worldly one, driven by flesh. And the Lord says, until you say, which means he says, until you say in a way that I accept. Until you speak the word in a way that I receive it. Nobody can fool God. Nobody can outsmart the Lord. It's not easy to utter the words from the bottom of the heart with a contrite spirit, with a broken heart, for the Lord to be closer to you to listen to your voice. It's not about shouting and crying with emotion, right? The Lord says, if you deeply establish our thought to show our sincerity, our humbleness, the humiliation that we receive by His love, the Lord can listen to our still voice louder because He is closer to us. It's not easy. It's not easy, it is impossible to escape the wrath of Him if we do not have Him in us. That's why God says, who can stand before my indignation? Who? No one. But we are not no one. We are not anyone. And the Lord says, I will not give my glory to anyone. But the Lord says, you will see me in glory and I will give you the crown. And the Lord says, my glory is in the midst of you. He says, you are not anyone. You are not no one. You are mine. The firstborn is mine. We are the church of the firstborn. Eve made of Adam, created of Adam. The bride is for the groom. Only then the Lord would say, church of the firstborn. He is the firstborn. So now let's turn your Bibles to Micah chapter 4, because in what we just read there was a question presented to all of us. Partakers of what? Because God said there are two different communions, two different partaking happening at the same time. The partakers of the new blood, new wine, the only drink the Lord wants us to drink. When Jesus said in the Last Supper, this is my blood, drink it. This is my body, eat it. On the other side, people are also sharing the wine. Not the worldly wine I'm talking about. The Bible presents it in a very deeper way. Because Jesus himself, when he comes in the white horse, he's coming with the wine press to give people to drink it. And what is that one? What is that wine? What is that partaking? It is something strongly linked to what the Lord teaches us concerning His wrath. Now let's read Micah chapter 4, verse 6. From verse 6, Brother Clement, please read for me until that chapter ends. Until the chapter ends, please.
In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcasts, and those whom I have afflicted, I will make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion, amen, from now on, ever forever, even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished? For pangs have seized you like a woman in labor. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pangs. For now you shall go forth from the city. You shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go. There you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hands of the enemies. Now also many nations have gathered against you, who say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel. For he will gather them like sheaves to a threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, I will make your hoofs bronze. You shall beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain to the Lord, and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth.
Amen. Let's look at the beautiful words that we receive in this chapter. And the Lord say in chapter 6, verse 6, I will assemble her that halted. Amen. In the New King James Version, anyone has NKJV? Yeah, you just read this.
I will assemble the lame.
Yes. That halted, cannot move forward, cannot look forward, cannot go forward, cannot move with the grace, which is moving from grace to grace and glory to glory. And the Lord says, you see how spiritually the Lord sees the word lame. In the last sermon, we were focusing for 4 weeks concerning the healing of the lame who was waiting at the gate of the beautiful gate, at the corner. After he received the healing, he was jumping, leaping in joy, walking into the temple, because he cannot be grounded to where he was before. Because now he can make a journey, he can walk. He was not just physically moving, he just walked into the temple. He stood by Apostle Peter and John as a strong testimony of God, to the extent that people who surrounded the servants of God, they could not lay their hands upon them. Because of the testimony was held, it was he held from whom he received the Lord's blessing. And that lame was still called as a lame because there is no other better name for him other than calling him the lame that was healed. In that name, he was reminded of his past to make him humble, sincere, humiliated by what God gave it to him. And he is reminded of the present established truth that he is not healing. He is healed. Lame, it was healed. And now here, in this chapter, the Lord says, I will assemble her lame, because we were all lame. We could not move. We were worshipping heathen gods. We were worshipping our own idols. We were worshipping our own self. We were like boasting of our own self-love. And the Lord strike us. He revealed his truth to us. He make us to start moving. He make us to start moving forward. And now he says, that lame will be called as remnant. And I will make her that halted a remnant. They were lame, but now they become remnant because they are not stagnant anymore. The Lord gave them the feet to walk. And that feet must be shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, because he finished everything. So now, the next one, the Lord calls his church, his children, the bride, and he called all of us to be the royal nation, the holy nation. Amen. But in the same chapter, verse 11 says, so many nations gathered against her. And the Lord says, my glory will dwell in the midst of her, round about a wall of fire, because so many nations gathered against her. She needs my light, I will give her light. She needs my warmth, I will give her warmth. She needs my presence, I will give her presence, because I am in the midst. But the wall of fire is not just for that. On the other side, it's a wall of protection, a wall of shielding, that they would not be harmed by those nations who were against them. And that's where the Lord says, He reserved His fire, unquenchable fire, His anger, for everything that's against His royal holy nation, the holy priesthood, the Lord's children, the bride. Now, He says in verse 12, they know not the thought of the Lord. Because when the Lord says, my thoughts, it means He counseled, established the thoughts, and those thoughts, when He speaks, done. It shall come to pass. And the Lord said, they know not His thoughts, neither understand His counsel. For He shall gather them as the sheaves into the flock. Verse 13 says, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. For I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy roofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. How powerfully the Lord speaks. When John the Baptist spoke to announce the coming of Christ, after he finished the introduction, powerful introduction of Jesus, he tells, I am not worthy to remove or to carry his sandals. He is coming. He will baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. He finished speaking, and the Bible says, then Jesus of Nazareth came to be baptized by John. Then, not days later. John the Baptist just spoke concerning the coming. Then Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist. Now the Lord says, He is coming. This time, this coming is different. He came to be baptized by the servant of God as per God's will. After baptism, the Holy Ghost descended upon him. The Lord says, my fullness dwells in him. And John the Baptist said, he baptized all of us with Holy Ghost and fire. And he will come and take his bride for the marriage of the Lamb. We are waiting. And we tell the Lord, Lord, come so quickly. Come, Lord, quickly. And that word quickly, we should have a spiritual discernment how we utter it. It should not be driven by selfish ambitions. Lord, I can't bear this anymore. The whole world is of evil. Come fast. No. That's not the fast. The Lord says, He will do everything according to His will. He waits because He's gracious. But He wants us to see whether we have the desire to see Him as quick as possible according to His will. Or we just want to enjoy our life on this earth. When we say, Lord, come, Lord, quickly, Lord, I just want to see You. I love You. Just want to be with You. The desire of following Him and meeting Him where He wants us to meet Him. That desire can never be built upon self-desire, our selfish ambitions, or some frustration, or some pain and suffering. We can't rush God, because God is gracious. There is some soul roaming in the wilderness, one single soul. Until that soul entered His camp, the Lord would not come. That's what He said. But the Lord says, do you want Me to come? Do you desire? Then call Me. Blessed is he who cometh in the Lord. And that word can only be uttered by those who can speak the word for the Lord to listen to the words. Now, let's read this. I continue from chapter 5, verse 1. Now, gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thou that thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto Me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travelleth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Amen. Now let's look at the word that he spoke just now. Stand
and feet. In the strength of the Lord. Why there must be a feeling in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God, and they shall abide. The very first verse that we started the sermon is, he that does not believe in him, the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen? And now we read, if you don't stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the word of the Lord, because the name of the Lord is the exceedingly great reward that we all receive, and the Lord revealed his word to us. If we do not be the partakers to feed of what he provides, the bread of life, the new wine, the new blood, and the Lord says, if you do so, he shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds. 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. We will continue this, what the Lord is speaking here. But let's remember this. Stand and feed in something the Lord wants us to feed upon. Now, Jesus was introduced by John the Baptist when John the Baptist said, he will thoroughly purge his floor, the threshing floor. Amen? Thoroughly. And the same that we read in Micah and as well as Nahum as well. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm chapter 75. I will read from verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. Unto the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge, and he putteth down one and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. Read this carefully. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. In the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and that wine is red. And the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob, who is our help. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horn of the righteousness shall be exalted. Verse 8 introduces something, the Lord says, something to drink. We are going to focus on that as the Lord leads us. Something to drink. Just to remember what the Lord taught us. In the Old Testament, people of Israel, they built the golden calf. Aaron was there. And when Moses came, he burnt it, made a powder, mixed with water, and told them, drink it. Amen? Jesus went to the marriage in Cana, in the city. And he performed a miracle at the request of the woman, his mother. And he said, fill the water pot with the water, and he transformed it into wine. But remember, he had to do this because that wine was supposed to be served in the feast for the people who were invited. Amen?
not for anyone.
Those who were invited for the feast, the ruler did not serve before he tasted water that is turned to wine. Amen? He tasted it, then he said, serve it. And those who partake that wine, the food, they said it was so, so tasty. It was so good. But it was tasted by the ruler of the feast first, before it was served. So the water transformed into wine for someone to drink. Amen? The golden calf was transformed into powder to be mixed with water for someone to drink. Yes? Jesus was so tired, he went and sat down near the Jacob's well. And he called the Samaritan woman. He told her, give me something to drink. He told her, give me something to drink. And she thought she is representing something, merely a water. Then he gave her a sermon concerning his fountain of life. And he tells all of us, there is water, fountain of life, for us to drink. Then we remember Moses. God looked at his children. They were in need of water. Amen? They were thirsty. The Lord wanted to give them water. So he told his servant, strike the rock. The servant did something God did not ask for. But that does not stop God from giving what the people need. Amen? The water came out. People drank of the water. But still the servant, he squeezed out the very last flush of his life, which is frustration and too much caused by the people who were disturbing him. Then that water was given to the people to drink. Amen? Because if they don't have water, they said, we will die. Now, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the Last Supper, he said, this is my blood, drink. And this time, the Lord is literally speaking to all of us, also spiritually, what it represents to us. The blood of the Lamb, which was shed for you and me, which was shed for all of us, and how we started the sermon today, the righteous blood of Abel, correct? All the blood of righteous shed upon the whole earth, all these years, was upon those who were against God. But God Jesus says, this is my blood shed for you, drink it. This is the new wine. This is my body, bread of life, eat it. So one side God says, I am letting my people to partake my bread of life, my new wine. On the other side, there are also people who partake, who drink something, who eat something. And that one, the Lord was addressing that very strongly when he was with his disciples. But in the prophetical books, in Revelation, book of Revelation, it is plainly mentioned, because the revelation is there, what the Lord will do. Now, let's go to Obadiah, verse 15 to 18. Verse 15 to 18. There is only one chapter. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Now we remember the verse that the Lord said, mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Amen? The Lord says, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. But do not remember, not in the same port. Lord dealt with his people differently, multifold, seven times, multifold, because the truth was revealed to his children. The Lord would not deal everybody in the same way, because the Bible says he will inquire us based on how much he revealed to us, how much he gave it to us. And he says, thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Now verse 16, you see, for as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall the heathen drink continually, yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon the Mount Zion shall be deliverance, there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. With your patience ye possess your souls. Amen? Is there anything in this world that you can possess, which you can take home? The Lord says, be preserved, be blameless in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, for me to come and see you, blameless, spotless, to take home. And the Lord says, the house of Jacob, because God of Jacob is their health,
That is why it is called the house of Jacob, who completely rely on God, who is their help. Nothing else. Not you, not me, not our might. He is our only help, the house of Jacob. And shall possess their possession, because it was God who would allow them to keep what they can carry. They will circumcise everything else, because they are continuously going through pruning. Unwanted branches of their life, their mind is cut off, thrown into fire. The grain, wine remains the wine of Jesus Christ. Now he warns us in 16, you have drunk upon my holy mountain. I revealed myself unto you. I gave my truth unto you. I showed the marvelous revelation of my word unto you. You drink my blood. Now, there are people who are also heathen. They drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and they shall swallow down. What people of Israel did in the wilderness, something God was so angry about, but he allowed it. He could have stopped it. When David was looking at Bathsheba, he was being tempted. God is not a man to tempt. God did not stop it. But he sent Nathan to warn David. That was a warning. He was rebuked David. But God did not stop David from committing sin. Because it is your cross, it is my cross, it is your life, it is my life. The Lord would allow us to go through our wilderness. To see that we are faithful to him. That we will break and cry unto him. For him to come and speak to our ear, I am with you. And that still voice cannot be heard. If we do not completely surrender to have the fruit to be worthy of repentance. That is why Jesus said the word, repent, repent, repent. It's not a past. It's something that we always have to remember. Today, let us do something for me to ask the Lord, Lord, I repent, forgive me. If we think my repentance is gone because I repented, I confessed, I was baptized, done. Repentance was not something like a reward. It's a state of your life. Today, do I have anything for me to repent and cry unto the Lord to make myself worthy? If not, praise the Lord. If so, we go shut the door and cry unto the Lord. So now, the Lord says, you are called to drink my blood. But people are drinking something else. Even there are so many churches around the world today, praising, worshipping some other name, preaching some other word, prosperity. Do whatever you want, be like whoever you want, come and dress anything you want. They feel so loved, they feel so welcome, they feel like a family. But God says, I am not in you, because my truth is not there. God cannot dwell in a place where his name is profane. Then what name it is? You don't know. When Jesus was sitting on the mountain, the bread of life was there, but people could not see. They were looking for the loaves, the bread. And he said, take it, whatever you want. Drink it, whatever you want. But if you desire, if you want me, I will be in you. It's not free. The reason why people say salvation is free, because we can never pay for it. Who can pay for it? We can't even pray for the small single drop of the precious blood of the Lamb. We can't pay for it. It's grace. It's mercy. The Lord says, it is a gift. You can't pay for it. But just live a life worthy of my calling. Lest you choose to be on the other side, worthy of my wrath. Abide in his word, in the wine, cannot be done without the Spirit of the Lord. Because it is life. So now, let's turn your Bibles to read one more verse. Psalm chapter 60. Psalm chapter 60. Verse 3. I'll read from verse 1. It's beautiful. O God, thou hast cast us off. And we read, God will never forsake his people. And the psalm, the book of the psalm, is so beautiful. It tells us how God makes the people to think what he is doing in their lives. He says, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Because he scattered before he gathered. Thou hast been displeased. Oh, turn thyself to us again. He's pleading. He's crying. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, and thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Now, thou hast shewed thy people hard things. You see, thou hast shewed thy people, not any people. If the Lord do not feel a sense of belonging in our life, he would not call us my people. So he says, the Lord shewed his people hard things. Something that is not comfortable. Something that is not easy for taking. So he says, hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Amen. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. He made us to drink the wine of astonishment at times in our life, because the Lord says, for a moment I will hide my face. When He hides His face, we see the other side, the wrath of God, the anger of God. So we don't see, because we are allowed to experience a glimpse of how our life can be without His presence and leading. And now He says, verse 4, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee. This is where I want to bring the word, how do you see the knowledge and wisdom of God? The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of the knowledge and wisdom. And here it says, the banner that He gives unto them that fear Him. Amen? Only unto them that fear Him, not His wrath. Fear Him as the Almighty. Fear Him as who He is. Fear Him that it may be displayed because of the truth. How powerful it is. That it may be displeased and displayed because of the truth. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and hear me. Verse 5 says, only the beloved of God will be delivered, not everyone. Now you bring the word escape. When John the Baptist says, who want you to be delivered, to escape? Jesus said, how can you escape? He's talking to the people who do not receive Him, who do not believe Him, who do not abide in Him. He is reminding them, wrath of God abideth in you, escape. Listen to what I say, escape. Now here we read verse 4, has given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and hear me. When we say, Lord, I can't listen to your voice, you don't hear me, you are very silent to me. And when we say, Lord never forsake us, but He allow us to feel the moment that He wants us to chasten, for us to endure, something to learn. Amen? But He will never forsake us. Now, let's keep this, what we learned concerning that He made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Let's read one verse as I close. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Chapter 18. Verse 1 to 5. Amen. Chapter 18, verse 1 to 5. And after these things, I saw an other angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Amen. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The wrath of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And verse 5 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, that ye receive not her plagues. Now this is a warning. Escape from the plague, come out of her, that ye be not the partakers of her, the wine of wrath, which is reserved for her sins. For her sins have reached unto heaven. Now you see the growth that we were talking about. Her sins reached unto heaven, for God hath remembered her iniquities. My brethren, the Lord says the cry of God's children reached unto His heaven, and He remembered the covenant. Amen. Now on the other side, the Lord reminds us, the sin, the iniquity, the abomination, and all these things of that evil thing reached unto heaven, then God had remembered the iniquities. God had remembered, oh, the time has come for me to remember the iniquities, to start doing what I should do. Then what was the role of the servants of God in the Old Testament? When we saw Moses was bargaining with God, Abraham was bargaining with God, Jesus says he is the high priest intermediating from what? From the Almighty himself, who want to forget the iniquities so that he can remain gracious and merciful until the appointed time comes. When the sin reached unto heaven, he remembers the iniquities, and what comes after? Verse 6, reward her as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Fill to her double. Now, the word that we just read is, the wine of wrath the Lord says, ye be not partakers. And he did not just make it complete, saying that wine of the wrath of her fornication. All spiritual. May the Lord bless us as we will continue to learn from the Lord concerning this wine, that the Lord needs to give us the grace, his knowledge and wisdom, that we will never be the partakers, as we are the vessels of his mercy. Amen. God bless you all. Let's all raise and pray and be close. We continue next Sunday. Our Lord, our God, Lord who waits because you are gracious, God is love, God is light, in him there is no darkness. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the mercy that we received because of who you are. The agape love that drives everything in our life by this wonderful time of fellowship, our trials, our valleys, where we see you, where we learn from you, where we continue to grow. Because, oh Lord, you are perfecting us, you are pruning us, that we will be circumcised from this world, from this flesh, that we remain as the true worshippers of God. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful demonstration of your love, even when you are angry. Because, oh Lord, you always want to do everything for our eternal life, to be with you forever, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you, Lord, for the words of life. May you be with us and guide us with your presence. We surrender everything, this new season, this new year. Lord, we are all the new creation, and this is the day. May you bless us to remain as a new man that you called us for. May you bless us to remain as a new man that you quickened us into life. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, brethren. Amen.